attention, please. Good show, everyone. My name is Dollar Yusha Wilhelm, and I want to serve you forever as the race is starting very soon. Now find your seats for Sabbath services.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Daughter Yisrael Abel Anaya Hawkins, and I like to serve you forever as priest is starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Yisrael Abel now entering the sanctuary.
Shalom, everyone. Y'all may be seated. If you would listen closely, we have some of the most exciting news to offer you. This Sabbath morning. Are y'all listening? If you would listen closely, we have some of the most exciting wisdom of Yahweh to offer you this Sabbath morning. So I looked up the Easter egg in Gematria, and it came to 720, and it means to contradict, that is, to reject, deny, and to refuse. People who celebrate these pagan holidays reject and refuse Yahweh's perfect righteous laws. They deny Yahweh and Yeshua. And at this time, I'll turn it over to the priest of the house of Yahweh.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Last week was 70. Today's 20. Yahweh has weather for everyone, doesn't he? So the first three speakers this morning are going to be women. And there are senior scholars of 10 years or more in the sacred scriptures, and they're going to be, again, bringing you some things on the gematria. And for many of you who don't know what gematria is, I encourage you to get some books that we have on that available today, which is The Number in Scripture and The Hidden Codes of the Bible, and there's many more out there. Yahweh inspired the scriptures to be written in Hebrew, and he actually also inspired the scriptures to be written in the Hebrew language. And remember what our overseer brought out about how in these last days, he's inspired everything to be in English because that's a language that everyone has to learn, right? And so for this generation, Yahweh gave each letter and each word a number in the Hebrew and the English. And you can look it up in many different languages. And I say for this generation because this hidden code of the numbers was only discovered by accident and brought to the public attention in this generation. Now, the gematria will reveal hidden secrets that one cannot get from the scriptures alone. And in Revelation 10, verse 7, it says, "But in the days of the voice of the seventh Moloch, when he will begin to sound, the great secret of Yahweh would be finished, as he declared to his servants the prophets." Revelation was written in 96 AY by Yochanan, who was in prison at the time that he wrote this book. After his death, the book was taken and put with the writings of Yahweh's prophets and Yeshua's disciples, locked up and not seen again for 1,500 years. And then only in versions, such as the King James Version. And this King James Version was rendered, and everybody knows what rendering means. It was rendered into English and made public in the year 1611 AY, just in time for our seventh Moloch, who by prophecy and gematria would be revealing the great secrets of Yahweh. The prophecies show the name of the seventh messenger and where he will do his work. The gematria show his writings, starting with his first two books, The Mark of the Beast, volumes 1 and 2. The prophecies and the gematria are very interesting. So listen closely. Listen closely. Take notes. You're going on a great learning experience. After these three women, the great priests in the house of Yahweh will follow. So if everyone would please stand, I will welcome up the first of our three speakers.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Okay. I was given a great assignment the other day. I was told to bring out more on an Easter remembrance. This is the House of Yahweh's booklet that explains the Easter traditions, the Easter rituals, and the gods that have been brought into Christianity. And with this, I did a search on the internet, and I came across several articles. I'm just going to read you the headlines and a brief explanation just to get you into the tone of what Christianity is doing these days. The first one is from The Atlantic, and this was published on the first month, the date January 2016. It says, fairy tales that predate Christianity. And they use techniques from evolutionary biology. The scientists have traced folk stories back to the Bronze Age. Now, the Bronze Age, according to the world, is from 3000 B.C., we know it's before Yeshua, to 1200 B.C., which is also 1200 before Yeshua. So these fairy tales actually predate the Council of Nicaea in 325, and everything that the was brought into during that, when they brought the books together and they brought all the gods and they came up with Jesus Christ, all of these fairy tales predated that time period. Now, another article says, researchers claim that many fairy tales are older than the Greek myths and the Bible. Now, this is a second witness stating that these researchers have actually proven that these fairy tales and myths are anywhere between 4,000 and 6,000 years old. Now, the title of some of these articles, some of these fairy tales, is Beauty and the Beast, Cinderella, so on and so on and so on. Beauty and the Beast is at least 4,000 years old. So that fairy tale has been incorporated into the Christian doctrine. Now, these other articles, this one person says that they actually believe that fairy tales are an important part of raising your Christian children. That's an article that actually states that. So they actually have taken these fairy tales, and you know, I mean, if you read the book, an Easter Remembrance, you read the book, Did Yeshua Messiah Pre-Exist? If you read the book, Devil Worship, you read the book, The Sabbath, Every Question Answered. If you read all of these books that Pastor has put out, he has explained in great detail how these gods and goddesses were brought into the Christian religion so that the popes of that time period could take over these different civilizations, these different countries, these different cities, these different empires, and bring it in under their umbrella of tradition. And this is the article. It says, The Importance of Myths and Fairy Tales for Christian Children. And it's written by, it's put out by Crisis Magazine. And this was on May 7, 2015. And it says that this person, 6-year-old, responded to a question about fairy tales, myths versus the scriptures, that the myths were created by people who did not know the real God. Now, this is a 6-year-old child that was introduced to the scriptures according to Christianity. This person goes on to say, beyond the fact that they do not take away from a child's faith, myths and fairy tales are an essential part of early education because they provide a basis for conservative and traditional thinking and ultimately point to Christianity. It says, grounding children in these tales grounds them in Christianity. This is what the world is teaching their children. And this person goes on to say, when it comes to literary education, nursery rhymes are the place where I start. Now, this is a supposedly Christian person who's teaching her children from their Bible, and she's incorporating nursery rhymes, myths, and fairy tales to ground her children in Christianity. Now, one of the gods that I found, her name is Inanna. She's also known as Ashtar, which is Astarte, which is Estar, or Easter. And she actually says it's an Ananias descent, a Sumerian tale of injustice. She's a Sumerian goddess. And it says, one of the things it says, Inanna is dressed in her finest attire and wears the crown of heaven on her head, beads around her neck, her breastplate, golden ring, and carries her scepter, the rod of power. Now, we know what the scepter is. If you go to the ninth book of Israel, part 1, chapter 25, verse 48, the overseer says, over here he says, there will be a branch that will be ruling with Yeshua, the high priest and king, over the house of Yahweh. He says, in Genesis 49, he says, the scepter won't leave Yada until this one coming who's going to rule the nations has come. And that's Genesis 49:10. It says, the scepter will not depart from Yada, nor a ruling staff. So Ananya actually has the scepter of power while she goes down into the kingdom of death. Now she says that when she gets to the gate, she says, I am Ananya, queen of heaven. Okay? And I did a gematria on that. And it came to 1306. 1306 is from 7562. It's a preposition, which means with wickedness. King of Gomorrah, if you go to 7562, it means iniquity. Now, if you go to the book, An Easter Remembrance, you can go to page 14 or 26, and it will explain about the Queen of Heaven. It says she was in the kingdom of death for 3 days when her mistress was following her instructions to go to the kingdom of death and bring her back. And it goes on to say that she was resurrected after 3 days, and she went back, and she wanted to see how the people were, and they were mourning her in sackcloth. But she saw her husband was dressed in his finest, and she became enraged and sent him to the kingdom of death. Now, this is part of the fairy tales and the gods and the goddesses that surround the Easter tradition that's coming up upon our days. Now, to give you a real quick thing, the Catholic Church, in their catechism, state that it's 341. They actually state that Mary Magdalene and her sisters were so rushed because of the coming Sabbath on the preparation Friday that they could not complete their burial preparation of Yeshua. They admit that the Sabbath started at sunset on prep day. And yet they turn around and teach the goddess of the Queen of Heaven. And with that, I'm going to turn this over to the next speaker. I'd like you to get two books to get is the study guide by the House of Yahweh and the Mark of the Beast, because they both give you more information on the Easter goddess. And with that, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom, Grace Stone at Abel. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. So, as you already know, we're starting to talk about Easter, but we also, for us at the House of Yahweh and those far out and abroad, we are also preparing for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, we keep it according to how Yahweh's law, statutes, and judgments given by the priests have taught us, which is a really great blessing. But the world, they've got this confusion in. So here is the book that the previous speaker was speaking about, An Easter Remembrance. So a lot of this information has come out of this particular booklet. So the world, of course, will be looking for eggs laid by rabbits, baking cakes with leaven, and celebrating that lie that Yeshua was resurrected on the first day of the week. And as we all know, which their false god, according to their teachings, was resurrected, and he was the son of a goddess and was resurrected to marry his mother. And I wonder how many Christians that practice Easter actually know whether or not what Easter is as a whole, and if they know that they are actually worshiping Satan on Easter. So I want to show you real quick the different names for Easter. So we have Easter. I don't really want to pronounce all of them, but here are all some of the different names. And what caught my attention is this one right here. Now, in the Easter Remembrance book, it says that she had a symbol, and it was named Star of Inanna, however you say that, Inanna. Now, the Star of Inanna, since it caught my attention, I had put it in the Gematria, and what's interesting is that the first Gematria, the Greek, it was a name of Aeneas. And I had to look that up in the Google, and it's the son of Aphrodite, which is also known as Venus. The next number is 792, and in the Greek it means star, and in the Hebrew it means man of Baal. The last number is 458, which is Greek, and in the Greek it means illegality, wickedness, iniquity, an example, violation of the law. And the last Hebrew is the god of the king, which is Satan herself. So as the previous speaker also mentioned, the Council of Nicaea, the Christianity, they teach that Constantine the Great had saved Christianity, right? So at the Council of Nicaea, 325 AA, Constantine made it official that Jesus Christ was to be the new God, which, of course, it's two gods in one, Zeus, which is Greek, and Krishna, which is the Eastern Savior God. And he also ratified Sunday as the religious day of worship. So the first day of the week to be the official day for worship. And one of his infamous quotes is that he says, so as to have nothing in common with the Jews. So I had to look that up in the Greek. And what's interesting is that same number, 458, from the Star of Inanna, is also here in our Gematria 4, so as to have nothing in common with the Jews. So recap, illegality, wickedness, iniquity, an example, violation of the law. And this did remind me of Yachin on Mark in chapter 7 through 9. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. For laying aside the law of Yahweh, you hold the tradition of men. Then he said to them, how well you reject the law of Yahweh so that you may keep your own traditions. And this is exactly what Constantine the Great did. He pushed away the laws of Yahweh because he didn't want nothing to do with how they practiced the feast days. And he implemented the Sunday keeping and the Easter. The next number for the Gematria, so as to have nothing in common with the Jews, we have 2748. In the Greek, it means Kidron, and it's a valley in nearby Jerusalem. Immediately, what popped out in my mind is 2 Kings chapter 23, verses 4 through 6. Now, just to do a recap, during the time of Solomon, after a while, he became lax, proving all things, and there was a bunch of God worshippers that started coming in, and then of course, they kept the feasts, but since the God worship interceded and started mingling and messing up, they weren't kept according to Yahweh's way, so they started keeping it to the gods. 2 Kings chapter 23, verses 4 through 6, this is during the during the reign of King Josiah, because he realized what they were doing was sinning, so he sent Hilkiah the high priest, the priest of the second rank, the ordinary priests, and the doorkeepers to bring out of the house of Yahweh all the articles that were made for Baal, for Asherah, for all the host of heaven. And he burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of the Kidron Valley and took their ashes to Bethel. He expelled the pagan priest ordained by the kings of Yada to burn incense on the high places of the cities of Yada, and on those around Jerusalem, the pagan rites. So in other words, they took the God-worshipping poles that they had made for the Queen of Heaven, and they burned them outside in the Kidron Valley. So going back to our Gematria, so as to have nothing in common with the Jews, it's interesting that number was there. Now, one last thing I want to leave you with. These are the other titles for Easter, Ishtar, Aphrodite, Venus, Child of the Light, the Queen of Heaven, Lady of Heaven, Enduring Dawn, and Mother Goddess. So we know who we worship. As for us in our house, we will serve Yahweh. And with this, if you would all please stand, turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom. You may be seated. How wonderful is this place? None other than the house of Yahweh, the gate, the entrance to the kingdom of Yahweh. The title of the speech is, Surely our fathers have inherited nothing but lies, that is written in Jeremiah 16:19. And Revelation 12:9 backs it up by saying the whole world is deceived. On page 12 of An Easter Remembrance, I have that booklet right here, it talks about Ishtar. So I put a gematria in, and I put in the Queen of Heaven, Ishtar, the goddess of love and fertility, is Easter. And you'll see that number goes to 666. And there's also two other numbers. Now on page 12 of this booklet, it also says that she is a goddess of war. She was often represented sitting upon a lion. My first question is, how can you be a goddess of love and a goddess of war at the same time? But that's what they're saying she is, both of those things. But if she would have known the love of Yahweh that's written in 1 Yochanan 5:3, she would be doing this. She would do this that it says, For this is the love of Yahweh, that you keep his laws. She obviously wasn't keeping Yahweh's laws, but we keep the laws of Yahweh. Now, did you notice when I was reading there that she was sitting on a lion? Let's turn over to Genesis 49, verse 1. On page 43, Genesis 49:1, those last four words, in the last days, that's our generation, the 1074 last generation spoken about. Now let's go down to verse 9. It says, You are a lion's cub, O Yada. You return from your prey, my son, like a lion. He crouches and lies down. Like the lion's breed, and who dares to arouse him? This is the same Yada that sits on the seven hills of Rome today, and who in the world dares to arouse that Catholic Church? There is only one. There is only one in these last days who stands for the supreme ruler of the whole earth, written in Zechariah 14:4, who has the courage and the boldness to arouse the Catholic Church and expose her lies. And that is Israel Abel Hawkins, who goes forth with the strength and the authority of Yahweh. Now let's look again at those numbers in the gematria and see that Satan and the house of Yahweh are running side by side with these numbers. Let's do Satan first, because that's pretty scriptural, because it says the first will be last, or they won't be there, and the last, the house of Yahweh, will be first. So in the Greek, it says 3884, and that means to deceive by false reasoning, to delude, to beguile, entice, and mislead. The second number, Greek 3996, means to grieve, to bewail for those in a church who show no repentance for evil, which goes to 3958, means to suffer at the hands of men, human suffering as a result of demonical power. In the dictionary, demonical means influenced by a demon or a divine power. Vatican is that divining serpent that sits on the seven hills of Rome, that it is because of them that this whole earth suffers. That is because of them and the false teachings that they bring forth that you have the suffering, the disease, the war, and the hatred. So I put another gematria in. I put a divine force. And you'll see that also is 666. I went to the dictionary and I looked up the word divine. And means godlike, devoted to a god. Now, if you're wondering why I put the red on there, on that 666, because it goes to Revelation 18:6. It means a woman who is drunk with the blood of the saints. The Catholic Church, ever since the beginning, that beastly system, has shed the righteous blood all the way from Abel, through the prophets, through all the apostles, and our Savior, Yeshua Messiah. Now let's look at these same numbers in the Hebrew to see the house of Yahweh, led by the chief leader, the head of operations, Israel Abel Hawkins. That first number in Hebrews 38:84 means lo, not, no, nay, never. So let's turn over to page 559 in your scriptures to Isaiah 45:4-6 to see where the overseer says this and why. So on page 559, Isaiah 45:4-6, let's start down there where it says, "And I surname you Israel, though you did not recognize that it was me. I am Yahweh, and there is no other apart from me. There is no God. I will strengthen you with this knowledge, though you did not recognize that it was me." And as Israel has been strengthened by Yahweh knowing this, he teaches us so that we may be strong in knowing this also. "So that they may know from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting that there is none beside me. I am Yahweh, and there is no other." Does the overseer teach this? Let's see. We have a newsletter here. It says the gods had nothing to do with creation. It has Yahweh is not a god. Turn over the page here again. Yahweh is not a god. He is not failing in his job in teaching us. The overseer is giving us everything we need to be strong, to know how to see the falsehood that is coming forth from this world. He is shedding the light of Yahweh's law on us. In the Hebrew, 39:96 means an entrance. Sunset of the west, toward to enter. The west, did that bring something to your mind? Wasn't the menorah lit today, and that western light on that menorah is the great house of Yahweh in these last days. So we have an entrance. That western light that was established in the Babylonian land, written in Zechariah 5:11, that will never go out. How wonderful is this place? This is none other than the house of Yahweh. It is the gate. It is the entrance, just like that gematria, or that number in Hebrew said, it's the entrance to the kingdom of Yahweh. This number also goes to 935, and it means to go or come, bring, enter, to go in and enter from one place to another. Come out of the deception of God worship. Enter into these gates, the kingdom of the house of Yahweh. May Yahweh be glorified, and may we always work together with our anointed one to bring honor and glory, to expose the evil of this world and bring forth everlasting righteousness. This time, turn it back over to you.
Wasn't that great? Praise Yahweh, and there's more to come. Now remember, when the things were rendered into English, rendering means to cause to change. And all through the scriptures where the Hebrew word Pashak or Passover was used, they rendered it or changed it to the word Easter. Now for more on this great teaching, at this time I'd like to turn it over to the great priest in Yahweh's house. Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh. Wasn't that great? Praise Yahweh. We'll continue on our learning. We'll get to hear at this time from the great deacon, Michael Austin.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. We're going to continue on with the great teachings that have been started today by the queens of the house of Yahweh. We're going to be... Briefly, I wanted to show you something from the last code search that I had walked off and forgot to show you. In the last code search, we talked about the lot, 17:28-74, being in the code, and I'd brought it out that at the age of 17, the witness Yisrael wanted to write a commentary, publish. At 28, he and his brother, the great witness Jacob, did a radio broadcast, so their preaching had begun publicly. And at 74, he was arrested, and it was brought out in the courts that he was hated above all. So publish, preach, and hated above all. Well, of course, they were in the codes, and I just wanted to make sure that I showed you. Right here is the word publish. Right here is the word preach. And connected to publish is the word hated above all. So it was in the code. But we're going to continue on talking about the Eastern Lamp, the importance of the witness Jacob and his work in the ministry of Yahweh and the house of Yahweh and the establishment of the house of Yahweh is undeniable. He had to fulfill many prophecies. He had to be there with his brother, our great teacher Yisroel Hawkins. They had to work together to establish the house of Yahweh. So I did a code search, and the title of this code search is Jacob JG. And just for reference, and we'll be going there in a moment, the target scripture of this code search was, in fact, Isaiah 44:23. So let's get right into it. Okay. So, okay, so we have right here, this is Jacob, the Hebrew characters for Jacob, JG. All right. Now, it was in there one time with a skip of over 7,000 characters between each letter. So, but it had to be Jacob, JG. All right. If it was just Jacob, it would have been in there a lot of times. If it was just JG, it would have been in there a lot of times. But the two, I wanted the two together so it would be distinctive to the witness Jacob. Okay. Then right below here, these characters, is the word Odessa, where the house of Yahweh at Odessa was established. Then, of course, right here, coming across these characters, is the word pastor, because he was, in fact, a pastor of the house of Yahweh, a house of Yahweh at Odessa. Now, it starts getting a little interesting here. Up here is the word duress, and we know that when he went to Israel, which brought forth his name change, they were stopped in Germany, and he didn't have a name on his ticket or his passport. It was just initials. And the conductor wouldn't accept that. He had to have a name. And he said, well, just call me Jacob. And that's where his naming, and that was under duress. Then we have, this one was interesting. And I especially like this one, music. Now, I asked our teacher yesterday, Pastor Yisroel, I asked him, what involvement he had. He said he was very encouraging in his younger brother Tex in his music and also pastors, and he would always encourage people in his family that had musical abilities to continue in that. So, of course, that came up. Then music is up here. So that is music. And down here, this one is Hakahan or Hawkins. So these characters. Now, whenever I say characters, of course, we know that it's the Hebrew letters. But they refer to them as characters. Now, this one is really neat. Number 7. It's these two characters right here. All right. They're kind of hard to see. But it's witness. And the word witness was in there over 2,000 times. So, you want to talk about a second witness. There's over 2,000. It would have covered the whole page. So I grabbed one, and that is witness. And, of course, it wouldn't be complete without Oki. He was an Oki. Now, he was born in Texas, but they grew up in Oklahoma. And, of course, we know Oki is a character trait, a positive character trait. So there's Oki right there. And, of course, the next two that go together is 9 and 10. Let's see. Are right here. Oh, sorry. Straighten that up a little. Okay. 9 and 10. And this is Eastern Lamp. Okay? Eastern Lamp. Which is, it was an important lamp, and it had to be there for us to be able to get where we are, because the work had to be done with Pastor. They had to do a work together until the prophecies were fulfilled, and we're going to get into that in the code. And then, you know, as a song that the men's choir is working on, the east, the western lamp, the eastern lamp has gone out. Okay? Then we have, let's see, right here, 1926. Now, that was the year that he was born. It's these characters right here, 1926. Now, the next two go together, 12 and 13, train and confrontation. And that goes along with the duress. And we know that the conductor was going to throw him off the train if he didn't come up with a name. And that's when he said, just call me Jacob. So, of course, train and confrontation. Then a very important code comes up right here. Milk and meat. And this is what, milk and meat, and this is what separated the two witnesses. It was a custom from the East, and that's what separated him. You know, Pastor Israel was telling me yesterday he knew that he had to separate from him because it was not right. It was not accurate. And of course, the word that came up after that was separated. Then things kind of turned around in the code. The next one, and they are right here. He came together with the witness Israel to defend the house of Yahweh against an attack by Satan and an assembly trying to take the name House of Yahweh from them. And it was at that time they stood together to minister before Yahweh to bring a defense against Satan and her attacks. And they were, of course, successful and stopped the assembly from taking the name. And so we have Defender of the House of Yahweh. And you can see, and in the codes, it started turning around. Then following that, crossing his name, is the word redeemed. And the scripture says that he was redeemed because he stood in defense of the house of Yahweh. And Pastor had told me yesterday that he had talked to him and he had said that he wanted to come to Abilene, that he wanted to come here and do the work. And Pastor said he was repenting and confessing that he wanted to do the right thing. He wanted to make it right, but it was already too late. He had been given to the curse and then went to sleep. But there was one last thing that was in there, and it had to be there, which really brings the joy back to the witness Israel. And that one is comes off his name, comes to this character, and comes to this character. Off his first letter in his name is the first in this code, and that's 1074. So, praise Yahweh. The witness Jacob was a wonderful man, a caring man. He cared about his congregation, and he was very concerned when, you know, when the witness Israel was telling him, you know, you can't be teaching these things, they're not right. And he was concerned, just like Pastor is concerned for all of us, he was concerned for his people and didn't want to lose any of them. So he was a very caring man. He cared about the house of Yahweh. He cared about the work of Yahweh. And we're going to have the opportunity real soon here to finally hear him speak to us the great words of Yahweh. So if you all please stand. Yahweh, bless your Sabbath. Have a great Sabbath. And with honor, I turn it over to a great teacher, a great priest, and a dear friend, the great Khan Benjamin Krause Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. Can I have the title slide? Your title for today, part three of the series here on the sparing of the house of Yahweh. We see Jack Van Impey's name there, but I want all you preachers out there to know this includes you. Okay, and we're going to be talking about the Easter Sunday resurrection myth exposed, which means you'll have no reason to worship on Sunday. This will do away with it, and you'll have no excuse once you see the proof offered here. Can we have the next slide? You can go online and read more at yahweh.com on the free booklets. Just click on free booklets and Easter remembrance and was the resurrection on Sunday. Also, it was mentioned the mark of the beast and other books. Can I have the next slide? Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny and colored eggs, and Sunday resurrection. What do they have in common? Yeah, they're all the mark of the beast. And if we're following this, as cute and fuzzy as it looks, you know, you see Santa there winking. You know, those that wink with the eye, beware. Okay? This is what they have in common. They're all part of this beastly system. Can I have my next slide? Now, the numbers 1674, I want to remind you, that was a number of days from Israel Hawkins' sermon on 6:14:14 to 1:12:19 when he talked about the preachers of this world need to repent just a couple weeks ago. And the 666 you're going to see, that's the number of the beast. It's a satanic mark, the mark of Cain and his followers, found in Revelation 13:18. And if you'll notice some of the gematrias, a satanic mark, 666, mark of beast, 666, fable and myth, 666, cunningly devised fable and myth. Remember in 2 Kefa 1:16, it says, in the house of Yahweh, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. These are not fables we're following here. Now the world is following these fables, okay? And let's look at the next slide. Let's look at the gematria for churchianity keeps Sunday. Okay, you notice that 1674 there? Remember it meant heaviness, sorrow, dread, become anxious, worry, anxious, care, fear. Load those in gematria and you get the 666. You also get the number 5503, which means to go around, travel about, commercial, as in buying and selling, customers, merchants, roving about, occupied with, traders, trafficking. And Strong's Greek 5503 means a widow, deficient, without a husband. And this should remind us of a scripture we'll see here in a minute. Strong's 5503 goes to 5490, means a chasm and gulf. Can I have my next slide? And I'll remind you, I told you last week that chasm and gulf is sin that separates us from Yahweh. That 666 system is separating us from Yahweh if we're part of it. And in Revelation 18, it talks about, you know, in 18:7, this system that sits on seven hills says, I sit a queen and am no widow, and will see no sorrow. Therefore, her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine. And she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is Father Yahweh who judges her. And the kings of the earth, the religions of this earth, who have committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her, selling their Easter bunnies when their Easter wares, and their you know, selling of all these this merchandise for Easter and Christmas and Halloween and everything else, they're going to wail over her and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. You shouldn't, yeah, after you see this information, you have no excuse for buying into this anymore. The merchants of these things who were made rich will stand far off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. Can I have my next slide? Now, if you recall, it was Pope Constantine who was a sun worshiper, and he was of the order of Sol Invictus, and he's the one that decreed Dies Solis, the day of the sun, or Sunday, as a day of rest. And you remember that Pope's decree was 666, Dies Solis, 666, Sunday off. You want to take Sunday off? 666, Baal's days off. Notice that? They don't even work They don't even work 6 days a week like Yahweh told them. They work only five. Monday through Friday, they call it. And then they get Baal's days off. Saturn day and Sunday. Right? Can I have my next slide? Now, from the booklet, Was the Resurrection on Sunday, page 12, it says, Pastor says, to cover the sin of worshiping on Sunday, Christianity has devised a means of veneering the Dies Solis Invictus, the Day of the Invincible Son, with respectability. Christianity teaches the Messiah rose from his grave on Sunday morning, and because of this, they say they're worshiping on the day of his resurrection. Those who make this statement are deceived. They call Sunday the Lord's Day, and the whole world follows this deception. The words coming from Yahshua's own mouth in Matthew 12:40 was, he's going to be in the grave 3 days and three nights. And I'm sorry, you don't get 3 days and three nights out of Good Friday at evening to Sunday morning. I don't care how you count it. A three-year-old can count it, okay? But they can't count, obviously. So let's blow this out of the water. Can I have my next slide? These next two numbers in this gematria of Churchianity Keeps Christianity are going to show you events taking place as Yahshua was dying on the stake and exactly when he died. Hebrews 2:79, that's the next number. It means brother of mother. And you remember in Yochanan 19:25, his mother was standing by the disciple whom he loved, and he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. And he said to the disciple, behold your mother. So there you have brother of mother. Okay? Let's look at the next slide. Then you had some other events taking place as he was dying on the stake. Hebrews 2:79 has two root words, 2:51 and 5:17. It means alike. Countrymen. 5:17 means parting, ancestors, family, parting. If you remember in Yochanan 19:19, also Strong's 279 in the Greek means unpenitent and unrepentant. If you remember the chief priests, these unpenitent, unrepentant chief priests handed Yahshua over for death. And then the Roman soldiers were parting Yahshua's garments and casting for his tallit. So there was the parting that was going on. You see that word parting. But notice, these were Roman soldiers, but they were ancestors. Remember what Pastor taught us in the ninth book of Israel, part two. He says, on the 14th day, remember, the congregation of Israel will kill the lamb. Well, who killed the lamb? Remember, the Roman soldiers. They were of the congregation of Israel, or it would never have worked. It would have been an outsider doing it, not the congregation of Israel that he brought out of the land of Egypt. Remember that? All the congregation who were brought out of the land of Egypt shall kill the lamb. So you had the Roman soldiers who were part of the family that Yahweh brought out of Egypt involved in this. Now let's look at the next number. Churchianity Keeps Sunday 1766. It means 1766 in the Hebrew means to thrust. Remember, they pierced his side with a spear. And if you notice in the commentary, they thrust the spear in his side to make sure he was dead. Remember that? They didn't break any of his bones because they couldn't break the bones of the Passover lamb by law. He had to fulfill that law. So they thrust him in the side with a spear. But watch this. Can I have the next slide? 1766 in the Greek is the exact same word used in Matthew 27:46. It means ninth. You remember? Yahshua cried at 3 p.m., the ninth hour, when he died. Okay, that's when he died, the ninth hour, just like it says. You can read that in Matthew 27:46, Yochanan Mark 15:34, Luke 23:44. It was the ninth hour, known as 3 p.m. Remember, the Passover lamb had to die between the two evenings, between 3 and 6 p.m., or he wouldn't have been our Passover. Okay, it wouldn't have worked. Can I have my next slide? Let's add these numbers up, and you get 3719. Notice, 3719 in Strong's in the Greek means hunger, hungry. And in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, it gives us another clue. It says, wrap a corpse in a shroud. Wow. Wasn't that what they did? They took that, Yosef took him down, body was handed over to him, he wrapped it in a shroud, and they laid it in the tomb before sundown on the preparation day for the high day Sabbath. You can read about this in the book. Can I have my next slide? But it gets even better. It tells you when they came to the tomb. 1766 or 37, let's see. 3719, I'm sorry, the numbers we added up. 3719 in the Greek means daybreak, dawn, early dawn. This is the exact word used in Luke 24:1, where it says, now on the first day of the week, at the earliest dawn, go read the book, it wasn't dawn in the morning time, the earliest dawn on Yahweh's day, it's at nighttime, okay, before the sun goes down, go read it. The proof is in the pudding. Okay, just go read it for yourself. Can I have my next slide? You can read about this on page 23 to 27, the subtitled Day of the Resurrection in the Mistranslated Scriptures in that book, Easter, not Easter Remembrance, but was the resurrection on Sunday. Remember, deep twilight or earliest dawn. This is the word you're seeing, 3722, the exact number. How does Yahweh do that? Yahweh's proving to you that Yahshua was resurrected exactly when he said. And he's showing you in the numbers. It wasn't on a Sunday morning. It was on the Sabbath day. Before the sun went down, they went to the tomb and he was already gone. He was already gone. Can I have my next slide? It gets better because 3719 means daybreak, dawn, early dawn, and it goes to 3735, which means to rise. To rise, to raise up, to raise from the ground. Rose, raised. Remember Yochanan Mark 16:2? On the first of the week, on very early, they came to the sepulcher just after the setting of the sun, and the Moloch said, he's been raised up. In 1 Corinthians 15:3, the Apostle Shaul says, he was buried and he rose again the third day, not the day and a half later, in accordance with what the Scriptures foretold. Can I have my next slide? Now let's blow this myth really wide open here. Let's really blow it wide open. Okay, so gematria for the Easter resurrection myth. The first number, again, is 1674. What a coincidence, right? You preachers out there better be listening. If you're following this after this sermon, you have no excuse. Because not only do the prophecies show this in the words, the laws of Yahweh, but Yisrael Hawkins is showing it and the numbers are showing it. I'm going to show you why they're doing this. It's for the love of money and power. That's the only reason. Remember, 1674, the numbers in there mean go to 666 and 5503. I already showed you that. And I remember 1 Timothy or 1 Timothy 6:10 says, the love of money is a root of all evil, and there are some who, pursuing it, have strayed from the faith and pierced themselves through with the many sorrows you see above there in that definition. Because you're following this Easter bunny. You're following the silly rabbits. Can I have my next slide? Remember, 1674 also means a Gentile. A Greek woman, a Gentile, it says. It means Gentiles. Remember, the word Gentile simply means a non-believer, a nation, or a nation in their armies. And if you're living as Gentiles, you're a 666. And Jacob 4:1-3 shows us what causes war and fighting. It's from lust, from wanting to take what don't belong to you, wanting to steal, murder, and covet. It says you lust, but you don't have. You murder and covet, but cannot obtain. You fight in war, 666. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you don't ask. And you ask, but you don't receive because you ask. Yeah, you asked for rain, but you got hail. Okay, you asked for rain, preachers, but you got hail. You ask with wrong purposes, in order that you may not spend it on, or that you may spend it on your own lust, you adulterers and adulteresses. You don't know that the friendship of the world, you preachers, is enmity with Yahweh? Therefore, whoever will be a friend of this world, partaking in these worldly holidays, is the enemy of Yahweh. Okay, you're making yourself an enemy. Next slide. The next number in the Easter Resurrection mix, 1992. It means to crawl, depart, leave, marches, goes to and fro, prowl, walks around, traveler, vagabond, wandering, wanderer. To be weak, lead, depart, march, pursue, cause to run, carry away, prosper, spread, vanish. Does that sound familiar? Satan and Cain and all her followers pursuing riches, pursuing people and stealing their land and taking them into captivity. Can I have my next slide? The next number, 332, means to shut up, close, and bind. That's 666 in Gematria. And remember Matthew 22:13, bind them hand and foot, take them away, and cast them into outer darkness. Those that participate in this. Matthew 23:13 says, you shut the door of the kingdom, you scribe, you hypocrites on the seven hills, in men's faces, for you yourselves will not go in the kingdom, nor you will allow those who do come to go in. Now watch this. Next slide. 332, Strong's Greek means to declare anathema, devoted to destruction, curse, bound under a curse, that which is laid up or given to destruction, devoted to the direst woes, a religious ban, excommunicated, doomed, a very great curse. The only number there that's usable is 2215. That's Revelation 22:15. Outsider dogs. Yes, they're excommunicated from the house of Yahweh. We're not doing it. They're doing it to themselves. And sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers, worshipers of gods, and everyone who professes to love yet practices breaking the laws. Can I have my next slide? Let's add this up. Add the numbers to see what else Yahweh reveals in the Easter resurrection myth. You get the number 3998. Notice, confusion, confounding, perplexity, from 943, to wander aimlessly, to lead captive. Remember, Satan has led this world captive to do her will. Remember Revelation 13:10, those who lead into captivity. Strong's Hebrew, okay, and you add all those up and you get a 666. Is that not surprising? But there's another number that blows their cover. 4579 means bowels, soul. Can I have my next slide? Strong's Greek 4579 means, this means to move, quake, and shake. And I showed you a few, in two different sermons, this is where that word trumpet comes from. Okay, the word trumpet or trumpeter, you see pastor's tag number there, the seventh trumpeter, Revelation 10:7, when the secrets are going to be revealed. Can I have my next slide? Those are the numbers showing the trumpet, and at 4579 comes from that word, it's what the trumpet means. Can I have my next slide? Here's your homework. Go read this scripture. Jeremiah 4:19 says, my anguish, or my bowels, it's the same number, 4578. I am pained in my heart. My heart is in storm within me. I cannot hold my peace because you have heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Notice, you see both words used there, bowels and trumpet. Okay, and go read that passage, 4:19 through 31. That's your homework to show you what's getting ready to take place with these people that are doing this. Can I have my next slide? Finally, let's really blow them out of the water. 3998 in the Greek means to crouch or cower, beggarly, poor, lax completely, deeply destitute, worthless. It's what's used in Galatians 4:9, but notice when you put those words in, you get a 666. But it's used in Galatians 4:9. Where is it used? Let's look at the next slide. Notice, but now, knowing Yahweh or having been known by Yahweh, why do you return to the powerless gods and bow down to sacred poles? When you keep Easter, what are you doing? You're bowing down to that sun pole right there in the Vatican. You see it? You're bowing down to it. You're serving the sun god. Why would you do such a thing? He says, you keep Easter and Christmas in deviation from Yahweh's new moons, feasts, and sacred year. Notice, feast of sacred pole, 666. Last slide. Strong's Greek 4779, to convoke, to assemble. Strong's Hebrew 4779, notice, rebellion, assembling for rebellion. The rebels of Nimrod's system. Notice the Easter lilies, Lilith, Satan. Next slide. Placed in the grave, Good Friday evening, rose, sunrise, Sunday morning, 666. Okay? Notice also 4195 means gain, superiority, preeminence, profit, money, and power. Remember, riches and power. Last slide, the Savior says, come out from among those who are teaching you to sin. You have no excuse. Go back and look. Go back and study this again. Go back and study. I know I had to rush through it. Go back and study it. And listen to all the sermons that the great queens gave and all the deacons before me. There's no excuse, preachers. You must repent and come to the house of Yahweh. We'd love to have all of you. And at this time, if you'd all please stand. It's my great honor and opportunity to present to you the great Kohen Yehuda Hawkins.
Please be seated. This has been one most interesting Sabbath day already. I got up, we rushed here. I was told I was going to get the week off, and then I got a phone call. Now, I don't have the week off, but I'm not complaining. I'm just finding it interesting. I really honestly am. If you will, please turn to page 61. We're going to talk about a commandment today. And there's a lot on it, so I can't go over a lot about it, but I think I can get a point or two across on it. It's Exodus 20, verse 4. Exodus 20, verse 4. So on page 61 in the book of Yahweh, if you want to go to Deuteronomy chapter 5, you can look it up on that one too. But page 61, they're both written in the same words, but Exodus 20, verse 4 reads, you shall not make for yourself any carved image, an idol, in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water below. I found this interesting on this because we were talking about the Easter Bunny, and I want to bring up something about that in a minute. The word make that is written in Exodus 20, verse 4, is translated from the Hebrew word osha. This word is listed on page 1125 of volume 2 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Castro, which shows this word means to become. Not to make. You're not putting nails in an image or trying to make a copy of the ark or anything like that. It says it means to become. That sure doesn't mean you're making anything. The words for yourself that are written in Exodus 20 verse 4 are translated from the Hebrew word lak. Just L-A-K in English if you want to pronounce well. This word is listed on page 399 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davison, which means that shows this word means to be like. So what Exodus 20 verse 4 is saying is this, you shall not become like any carved image, a god, in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. Now, we heard some of the sisters speaking about the Easter Bunny. Now, that seems so innocent, that cute little animal some people have for pets. It's a rodent. It's related to the mouse and the rat. So maybe it's not so great after all. The bottom line is, what it symbolizes is even worse. In the world, when people talk about rabbits, I think you get the idea that they're not talking about the animals. It's telling you to do what? Adultery, fornication, anything but righteous married life. Anything but. So you're sitting there, you shall, now this is what it says. You shall, this is a scripture says this, you shall not become like any carved image, a god, in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. On the earth beneath. That rabbit, you want to be like a rabbit? If you're going out there and doing all the things I talked about last week, you most certainly are being like that rabbit that symbol of that magazine represents. That's how bad that thing is. The Easter Bunny, Well, they say it lays eggs. But even if it had little baby rabbits, it symbolizes something that has its place, but it's called marriage. And nothing else will suffice. You come out of these. If you're doing this, go and sin no more. If you're married or you're single and you're saying no to this, Yahweh bless you and may He strengthen you. And with that, may Yahweh bless your understanding, because that's what this is about. Don't make yourself like that rabbit. We now turn the services over to great Kohan Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Make sure to get your pens and your notebook out to write these scriptures down. It's very important because all of these prophecies coming to pass when the last trumpet sounds, the seventh trumpet. And sometimes we're speaking to young men born in the house of Yahweh, and they've heard these things from youth. So they're kind of like everyday life. And sometimes you tend to, if you're born into it, you think, well, everybody knows this. Everybody doesn't know this. That's why you're training so hard to teach the billions to come, because we're seeing all these things come to pass. So we're going to start out in Washington State, where they're looking to remove the right from parents to not have their children vaccinated. And this is for measles, mumps, rubella, so forth. But it has been so far where you could actually refuse these things due to religious rights or just for the fact you didn't want it done, period. Well, now they're trying to pass a bill so you can't refuse it. They're saying that your children are helping spread this disease. And why they're so fearful if their children are vaccinated, I have no idea. It seems like they'd have confidence in their belief, but they don't. But remember what we brought out and we've shown, and Bill Gates is a part of this. Remember the 10-year, $10 billion vaccine plan where they openly stated it was to reduce the population. That's why it was brought out. And we'll replay that with it, because remember, this population, depopulation is going to take place. And it is taking place. And it goes right along with rules of war. Remember Revelations 13:10, pastor's been talking about, he who wants to live by the sword will die by the sword. Well, there's many victims in this also. And they show where the UK and the United States in the Middle East granted their soldiers permission to where they could shoot anyone who they deemed suspicious. That's all you had to do. And they commenced to shooting 8-year-old boys, 10-year-old boys. And when they were asked, why did you do it? Well, I thought he was going to do something. And remember, write down Revelations 9:21. They would not repent of their sorceries, these pharmaceuticals, or of their murders. And that's what these pharmaceuticals are. They're murdering people with these vaccines. And then we get into, write down Daniel 9:27, the 7-year agreement. Don't forget that this agreement was stopped by Prime Minister Netanyahu on April 13th of 1997. Because now they're pushing, they're saying they want to get this deal done. They call it the ultimate deal. We know it as a 7-year treaty, the last 3.5 years. They're talking about they wanted the Roman month of April after the Israeli elections, which is the 9th. So look for that. Look at how these parts are coming together, these prophecies coming to pass. And then, of course, we have the EU and Latin America. Remember what pastors brought for years that Malachi Martin spoke of, where you have Russia and China, you have the United States, and you have the Vatican. And they're all competing for the top spot. And if you've read the last prophetic word, just look on the cover. Oil and religion, it goes hand in hand. These things are... it's money. It's not people's lives. It's not your well-being they're looking after. It's money. That's what they want, is money, property, wealth. That is one of the roots of all evil. But they had a meeting, the EU and Latin American leaders, and they had this down in Uruguay to discuss the future of Venezuela. China and Russia were not allowed in the meeting whatsoever. Russia asked if they could be a bystander, just sit and listen. They were told no. Write down Revelation 6:6, because remember, hurt not the oil and the wine. Well, that's what this competition is going over, because Venezuela, of course, they're sanctioned because of their oil. Well, China and Russia are coming in saying, sell your oil through us, use the petro ruble or the petro yuan, which is China's version of the petrodollar, and you can buy, sell, and trade, and we'll do business with you. Well, the United States stood back and, well, we'll sanction you more. Well, China and Russia, we don't care about sanctions. We don't need your money. Well, they need the economies. These economies are so intertwined, China just can't walk away from the United States. They're very intertwined and interdependent on each other. Well, after seeing this, the United States made a reply that if you will take the opposition leader, Juan Guaido, and that's the one who the United States is wanting to recognize as a leader, if you will put him in as your president and your leader, we will drop sanctions against you. And, of course, that's coming from senior advisor John Bolton. So you see this competition. It keeps heating up. So what does Maduro do? He appeals to Pope Francis. He writes a letter to Pope Francis asking for dialogue. Now, I want to read you very quickly. This is from the New York Times. Pope Francis says he's willing to mediate in Venezuela if both sides want it. Pope Francis expressed a potential willingness on Tuesday, that was of this week, to mediate a peaceful resolution to the tense political conflict in Venezuela if asked by both President Nicolas Maduro and the opposition leader, who is Juan Guaido, who is increasingly recognized as the country's legitimate leader. Pope Francis says, we're always willing. On his plane returning from Abu Dhabi and becoming the first pope to visit the Arab Peninsula, he acknowledged that Mr. Maduro, whose government, the United States, and many other European countries no longer recognize, had sent him a letter, and he said he has yet to read it, but they were asking for dialogue. So why would you appeal to the pope? Think about that. Well, of course, this is the ruling religion. They rule over the kings of the earth. Not the Pope, but the Vatican itself, the divining serpent. And he is that little horn that Daniel spoke of. He's insignificant, but he is the spokesperson for that organization. Well, he's making an appeal. And if you remember, Maduro got on bad ties with the Vatican when he was due to meet with Pope Francis back in 2014. And he called in sick with the flu and said he wouldn't make it. And it's been downhill for him ever since. And then we have the arms race taking place. Write down Isaiah 24, 1 through 6, because this is the nuclear burning that we're going to see. And it's this arms race. If you remember, we brought this out over the past few years where these low-yield nuclear weapons are considered acceptable. They don't look at it as a big nuclear bomb, which would take out multiple cities. They're talking about low-yield, and they talk about them like they're okay to use. It's like they're in a fight, and we see the push and shove going on. Well, the push and shove part of this is dropping an acceptable nuclear missile or shooting it off. That's acceptable. But when you get into a fight, and you're in a fight for your life, when someone pushes you, what do you do? If you don't know the peaceful solution, you throw a harder punch back. You shoot a bigger bomb back. You drop a bigger bomb. And that's the nuclear burning we're going to see. And through all of this, they still will not repent of what they're doing. They won't turn from it. And remember, with all of these things put into play, with what they're being shown, don't forget Revelations 13, 17. If you don't accept this mark or this way of life, they're telling these countries you can't buy, sell, nor trade. Only in the house of Yahweh, as Micaiah 4, 1 through 3 says, will you find peace when you come out of this world and go up to the place that Yahweh has chosen to establish his name, and ask of the judge who sets in office at that time, and he will teach us of Yahweh's way, will we truly find peace. At this time, if we could please go ahead and play the news. And world leaders, please know, after you try the Vatican's council and fail, you can come to the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. A big crowd for such a cold day. Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I sure am glad that our family here is bringing out all this great stuff. I wanted to cover these gods and goddesses before Passover, and the stuff they brought, that'll keep me from having to bring it, but they did a better job than I could anyway, and did a fine job. Yes, praise Yahweh. The worship of gods is what's got us into this, got the whole world into this mess we're in. And I've seen no solutions at all from the world. The worship of the gods, it started, of course, in the beginning when the hatred or jealousy arose, and they wanted to continue on with their sinful ways. And the gods were the ones that was bringing this forth. I've got to show you this picture. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture. Actually, this is two different groups. This is the children one of the groups, and this is foreign lands. Now these are the grown men in one country. This is not the same country as this one. This is a grown group of men, and they have the paved sign. I meant to bring the bread sack this morning. It showed how the numbers on paved, the letters, the words that this represents, actually comes out. They got our tag number on it, 1074. This is the women of another country, but you notice they got the different backgrounds too there in each one. But these all come from separate different countries, but they sent this to us, and we've invited all of them to the feast, of course. I'm the greatest racist in the world. We are here. I want every single race on earth here in the house of Yahweh. call us what you want to, but that you can call us racist or whatever. I don't care what you call me. Just so it's in time for dinner, of course. But I don't want to miss out on any of the food here, spiritual or physical. The comments that's coming in on these shows that the priestess and priest deacons are bringing out, the guy says, this is wow, holy wow. Wow, talk about another great service. This kept me up on the edge of my seat all the way through it. Yahweh is not a God, never has been a God, and never will be a God. Well, of course, that is that's the message we're bringing forth, which was also taught in the beginning, but they tried to disguise it, of course. The gods being better than Yahweh, I want to point out something that you need to know. The Easter, the Christmas, the Halloween, all of these pagan holidays were created and were being practiced by the gods. And of course, what Yahweh is trying to show them is that the gods are evil, and he created help for them, which is his family. He was creating a group of family beings, that's the house of Yahweh, to help the houses of the gods and try to save as many as possible. But he didn't create the house of Yahweh to go to war against the house of the gods or houses of the gods. His plan is to create mankind into a family that will rule as he rules. He's always helped his family and tried to counsel them. Speaking of the gods in heaven, this is shown in Scripture, that Yahweh counsels with the gods and says, you need to go this way or that way. He does the same thing with mankind. Thank you. Bread sack, hey, thank you. Paid, pledge, I pledge to do my part to end violence. Are you in? Don't listen, watch, or play violent media for one day. Annual Violence Awareness Day is 2/12/19. If you add all the words together and run it through the gematrix, you get my tag number right there. And that tag number belongs to the whole house of Yahweh. A personalized tag number. That's not personalized tag number. We didn't ask for it. Mechanic just simply registered the car and they sent it to us. But come to find out, Yahweh had used two or three of my tag numbers to identify the work in these last days. Okay, Iran reveals the missile. Here's the world. That's our work. We're bringing forth Yahweh's way. But Iran reveals a missile, shows off underground factory. Iran's Revolutionary Guard inaugurated a surface-to-surface ballistic missile with a range of 621 miles. The semi-official Fair News Agency reported on the fifth day of the week, ignoring demands, Western demands, that Tehran halt its missile program. Iran says it has missiles with the range of up to 2,000 kilometers, which puts Israel and U.S. military bases in their region within reach. U.S. military warns a threat from China, a run space station in Argentina. It's a China-run space station in Argentina. This is horrible. I know that the great deacon Yada Kimball's got a bunch of stuff to bring out on this, and hopefully soon. But zombie deer, brain disease spreads to 24 U.S. states and Canada and increasingly threatens humans. Now, you search the writings of all your gods, you get some of the craziest stuff. But I hope everybody heard this that the women brought out this morning, the priestess in the house of Yahweh. It was wonderful what was brought out, and it proves what we've been teaching, that they have nothing beneficial to offer. It's just it's stupid. All of it is stupid. It's filled with lies. We've inherited nothing but lies, Jeremiah said. The 23rd chapter, or 16th chapter, nothing but lies. The world has, and this comes from the gods. And the pagan holidays are just parts of their god worship to keep your mind occupied somewhere else instead of getting it on Yahweh and coming to Yahweh's house to learn the way of true joy, of how to actually enjoy life, righteously enjoy life that will be acceptable to one another and also acceptable for Yahweh's kingdom. Now, the difference in the work of the gods and Yahweh Everything Yahweh offers to mankind, he writes it in a book for all the gods to see. We don't hide anything. There's nothing there. There's nothing in the book of Yahweh that deserves being hidden. It's all out in the open for the gods to see and for man to see what Yahweh has planned for mankind and what he intends to build or make out of mankind. It's there. It also shows, and this is something they can't do or won't do, it shows what activities will bring you if you practice certain activities. One of them is this mad deer disease or zombie deer that's in the cattle also. If it's in the livestock, it's in the cattle. It's in the beef. They both graze off of the same pastures. And this stuff is spreading. Now, that's one of the things that the gods who tell their priests to eat swine's flesh, and Isaiah 65 said, they follow the priests that eat swine. This is what brings this and sexually transmitted diseases mixed together brings mad cow disease. to the livestock and to the people. Now, Yahweh in advance can tell you what you eat will cause this, and he does. 11th chapter of Leviticus is a great one to start with. If you eat this, he tells you exactly what it'll do to your body. Now, the gods won't tell you this. They don't have anything in writing telling something will keep you healthy. And their practices, every one of their practices, evil practices, brings your body down. Dying, you will die if you eat of these gods or the tree of gods. The worship of gods, it's if you turn with that in your mind, Yahweh can foretell the future and does. He foretells the future for us. He foretells the future for the nations. He tells us exactly what we would have to fight with right now. He told it thousands of years ago and put it in a book for us to read, anybody to read. You can check him out. Is he right? Is the nuclear bomb here that can darken the sun? Wake up, world. Yahweh is the only one you can trust. You can't trust these goddesses. Inanna, I think is her name. That was what she started with. They call her Easter goddess now. And bring her forth to keep your mind off of Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which if you come and get with Yahweh, which is he has annual appointments, then he has the seventh-day Sabbath weekly appointments. I remember reading a long time ago in the Talmud that if you don't live close enough to the house of Yahweh to keep the seventh-day Sabbath, move. There's some of those things I can agree with those people on, and that's one of them. Move here. Uproot and come on. You have an appointment with Yahweh every seventh day. There's where he teaches you the way to be acceptable to mankind, to each other, to your brothers and sisters, and also be acceptable for Yahweh's kingdom. In chapter 2 and verse 9, chapter 2 and verse 9, now there's a lie going around that we need to be aware of. Yes, there were sins in heaven. Yahweh gave, he counsels the gods. You think he wouldn't give them his Ten Commandments, his righteousness, show his righteousness? His glory is firmly set in heaven, brethren. What does that mean to even the most ignorant? You should figure out that Yahweh's righteousness is firmly set in heaven and has been since he created the heavens. The commandments. He starts the days for Adam and Eve. What you see written here, not written out. You don't find any of it written out like a book. You find it here a little and there a little. But Yahweh touches on things here that he shows later in the other books of the prophets. There's never been a book written like this. The gods don't have sense enough to even write a book, or we would be reading one. They have myths here and there, you know. Well, the myth says, well, I heard a rumor that two boys got cast down from heaven, two gods. There's two gods. Must not have been very strong gods, or they couldn't have cast them out. But these are the ones that's leading the world now. No, one of them killed the other one. Yeah, well, that shows how evil that God was, right? Surely? Over here fighting? Well, it certainly does here in this book. In chapter 2, I want you to see the Ten Commandments. That's there. It's there. If you'll just listen, pay attention, I'm going to show you the Ten Commandments here. In chapter 2, in verse 9, he says, out of the ground he made every tree to grow. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, right in the middle of it, the tree of life, and the tree of knowledge of righteousness and evil. This righteousness was taught. Where was it taught? It was there, righteousness. Righteousness is what this whole book of Yahweh is about. Righteousness and what will occur to you if it's not. And all of this was presented. You think it wasn't written? Now think on this. Yahweh said to Adam, he let him name everything on earth, every creature on earth. What'd you call this one? You mean you didn't have sense enough to write it down? You expect to remember all of these millions of creatures that you have named? Did I just waste my time telling you what, getting you to name them? Well, that's the sense of the gods. They actually think that. How would you do it without a computer? You'd have to, would you not write it? What do you think converted Noah? That man lived by Yahweh's laws. Where did he get them? How did he know what to call a deer or a cow or a bull or a horse or a dog? How did he know they were unclean? And which ones were unclean? Christians can't even remember it, and it's got it there in black and white for them, written down. He had it too. I'd bet you everything I have to a hole in the donut. But out of the ground, the tree of righteousness, the tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and also the evil. The evil of the gods was in the midst of the garden. Well, evil. Yahweh, look at verse 16 and 17. You see that word commanded? Commanded. Verse 16. See it? Verse 16. The word commanded. Verses 16 and 17. Or Yahweh gave commandment. He commanded, or he gave commandment. Commandment, you see that? He says, do not eat. Where did he write that? Well, if he's speaking of pig meat, it'd be Leviticus 11. He called it that later when he gave the same laws to mankind, to Moshe, in a later period of history. He called them 10 commandments. Do not eat evil. Evil? What is this evil? Evil. If you look over to chapter 3 and verse 5, you'll find this word. Evil like the gods. Evil like the gods. Now that had to be described. It had to be taught. It couldn't just be evil like the God without him knowing what evil was. If you turn over to Exodus now, Exodus 20, Exodus 20, and look here, Exodus 20, and look at verse 3, Exodus 20 and verse 3, you shall have no gods. Wow, this is a commandment. You shall have no gods. Well, if you know what a God is, as it's described in Isaiah 14, there's the best description ever. It gives you the description and character of Satan herself, who taught her children the gods. That was the first gods. They lifted themselves up, left their first estate, and ran after evil things, evil practices. Have no hinder gods. Now, David brought this out this morning in Exodus. I know I got it. Exodus 20, verse 4. You shall make for yourselves no image or idol. If you saw the picture that the great Kohan Benjamin Krauss put on the screen, if you saw all those things, these people look like people standing in rows across that top of that building. That's gods, brethren. That's their gods. Only a few of them. There's many. And out of all the gods that they've got, they don't have strength enough or understanding or wisdom enough to give you any future foretelling of what you're going to be. What they tell you is, well, we're going to rapture you up to heaven when you die. Of course, you'll never know that they didn't when you die, because the dead know nothing. And that's what your Bible tells you. That's what Yahweh tells you. The Exodus 20 and verse 4, correctly translated, you shall not become like any carved image of a god in the form of anything. That is, you remember, Yahweh says, I will make man in my image after my likeness. He's telling you here, don't make yourself into a God's image or likeness. If you do, you're going to perish. You will bring perishing on yourself. Well, here's the commandment. And go back to Genesis now. Genesis 2 and verse 16. And Yahweh gave his commandments to mankind. 2:16. 2:16. And then, now, he says, have no gods in Exodus 20, verse 3. Or don't make yourself like gods. Have no gods. If you go back to Genesis 4, you can see why he doesn't want you to make yourself into the image of a god or the likeness of a god, any gods. Easter goddess, nothing brings nothing but big lies. Easter bunnies. I don't know if, I think she got into that this morning. If not, she'll bring it later. The Easter bunny lie. The Halloween lie. The Christmas lies. All of these are lies that the Christianity has inherited. And a preacher in Abilene, he gets on the radio or television after hearing us bring it out how evil these things are, and he says, well, regardless of the origin of Halloween, it's still a fun night to spend with your children trick-or-treating. Well, like Satan, it shows just about the brilliance or wisdom of Satan herself, who says, don't be righteous. Let's destroy mankind. And she made enemies between the woman's seed and Satan's seed. The house of the gods versus the house of Yahweh. And that is shown to us there in the third chapter. 20 verse 3, gods are in opposition. Exodus 20 verse 3 says, the gods are in opposition against me. Opposition. You can see it right there in Genesis 3, 1 through 6, where they sinned. They taught Eve to sin, Adam and Eve to sin. The King James Version puts the word naked there. We have a little J there in the side notes that tells you what the authorities say this Hebrew word means, and it actually means sin. And if you pay any attention to here a little and there a little, if you look at Timothy, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 14, 2 and verse 14, it backs up the gematria of 666. That's found on page 934. Here a little and there a little. The word naked. You can't get it. You can't get the word, the meaning of it in Genesis. But if you go over to the apostles' writings, Christianity claims they follow the writings of the apostles, and they follow the Savior who they renamed. They took his name out because it meant Yahweh will save his people from their sins. They don't want anything to do with Yahweh, don't want anything to do with Yahshua, so they replaced him and put a false god. Nothing but lies. So you've inherited nothing but lies. But in the last days, Yahweh said all of that is going to change. Now he's going to, right, praise Yahweh, in the last days. Salvation is taken away from mankind until the last days. Yahshua has qualified to raise the dead. He's qualified. He will give authority to us, his house, to raise the dead, to actually do it in the last days. And he called that generation. That generation. Timothy, 1 Timothy 2, verse 14, speaking of naked in Genesis 3. Genesis 3 and verse 6. Speaking of the word naked, well, here's what it means. 1 Timothy 2, 14, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into sin. What is sin? It's the breaking of Yahweh's laws. But they didn't have any laws, you say. Well, you're lying when you say it, brothers. Preachers, they did have the laws. And it was written here a little and there a little. And later it was actually put in black and white, the same book of Yahweh. The same book of Yahweh that the gods have in heaven. And they it's before them too. See, I put this before heaven and earth. No, they couldn't remember it either. No, they got it. They do have it written. Yahweh has it written, and they can read it, and they can see it fulfilled on the sea of glass like a big television screen. Some of the people who enjoy television, they're going to get full of it when they get all this in front of them, and they can watch the total history of mankind when they start forgetting it. But notice, she fell into sin, the breaking of Yahweh's laws. Yes, they had the laws of Yahweh. Now look at 2 Corinthians. This is a great one. You've got to compare it to get it. 2 Corinthians 11. That's on page 907. You got to get this one. This is really beautiful. And actually ties right into Genesis. Here a little and there a little. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1 says, if you would only ask Yahweh, if only you as I asked Yahweh. You preachers, if you'd only asked Yahweh, he's the one that has the wisdom to foretell future events, even your appetite, your cravings, and what different foods will bring to your body. Foods that you can't even see, little animals, little varmints, creatures that you can't even see. And he tells you, they're there, don't eat them, or they'll bring death to your body. That's Yahweh. If they would only ask Yahweh. Well, verse 3 says, I fear that by any means, as the serpent subtly deceived Eve with her craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted. You know, brethren, this is a dangerous point right here. He's telling you, if you think about it, Satan has deceived the whole world. Revelations 12:9 says, she's deceived the whole world. You know, the woman has to have a lot of knowledge to do this. I don't think she has much wisdom, or she would see the difference in what she's trying to teach her children if she had any love for her children. Maybe she's lost all the love that she ever had. Maybe her mind, the hatred, has just pushed out all the love. That's what occurs with mankind. That's what one of the apostles said, that speaking of this time period, and said men would be lovers of their own selves, or mankind would be lovers of their own selves, but not of Yahweh, not of each other. Fighting and war is the big thing. But I fear that by any means, as the serpent subtly deceived Eve with her craftiness, and your minds may be corrupted, led astray from the simplicity that is in the Messiah. Simplicity is just simply following the words of instruction that Yahweh gives us to follow. There's no book of the gods that promises you eternal life. There's none that says they can foretell the future. Why would you leave Yahweh and run and after a Easter bunny, supposedly to grab colored eggs behind it? And why would you tell such an evil lie as this and then take this God worship? That's what it is, God goddess. Goddess is just a female god. Take this worship of gods and goddess above the Creator's plan to bring you to a full state of righteousness, eternal life, and an eternal place in His kingdom, in His family. You see how stupid she's got you to thinking, preachers? This is idiots. To leave what Yahweh offers you in this book to be made in His image, and you turn and want to follow the gods. And that's what you're doing when you celebrate Halloween, Easter, Christmas, any of these pagan god worship. Don't have any gods before me or beside me. Don't have any gods, period. They are evil. Don't eat that tree or you will die. Now look at verse 4. For if he who comes preaches another Messiah, another Messiah, no other name under heaven whereby you must be saved than Yeshua Messiah. I'm going to prove to you, maybe next Sabbath, I can prove to you from the King James Version that his name is Yeshua and you changed it. And the Catholic Church admits they changed it. One of the popes admits, and they got the history of it, and we got it for you. All you have to do is humble yourself a little, get off of your kinglyship post, get down here where I can whisper in your ear, and I'll tell you and show you. It's been black and white. We're racist, remember? And we have it in every language. For if he who comes preaches another, this is God worship now. Remember, it's God worship, Satan worship. Satan deceived Eve in this very manner. The way she's deceiving you preachers out there, which we have not preached. The disciples didn't preach such a thing. They didn't even have a J in the Hebrew language, still don't today. There's no J in the Hebrew language. You cannot translate Yeshua into anything that would be spelled with a J. It's impossible. Greek doesn't have a J. The English language didn't have a J until the 1600s. The King James Version Bible was not printed in English and sent to the whole world until that letter was created in the 1600s. 1611 was when the Bible was, the King James Version was printed. The J was invented to replace the name of the Savior, Yeshua Messiah. So if anyone teaches another, that's what Satan was doing, teaching another. This goddess. Well, I'm not saying she'll save you. I'm just saying there's rumors that this Iana, she did this and did this and did this. She is a god. Her husband got kicked out of earth and went, or maybe he's kicked out of heaven. Wherever he was, he got kicked out and she followed him. What nonsense is this? What is it showing you? You're saying that Iana has eternal life for you? Has a plan for you? These gods were invented long before Yeshua was ever born. Yahweh counseled these gods before he created mankind to help them in the kingdom, to overcome the mess they've got themselves into. The same mess that's here on earth. Did you see the information on the news that said 72% of the people in California cannot afford to live in California any longer? Now, this is the results of God worship. You're seeing the same thing here in Texas. The greedy, the ones in power, they say, we need this much money to build this big hotel here. Let's put it on your water bill. And the poorest of people, they take the money out of their pockets, out of their living. This is the same thing that's going on in California. As goes California, so goes the world. That's the saying. It's about to get washed away now, about to get burned up before this. And now the people, the expenses have gotten so high that they can't pay their bills. The people started complaining right here in Abilene about this. We can't pay the water bill now. It's so too expensive. Well, it'll only be this much more. And they only showed one person, one old elderly woman, I think. That's it. The news media. The news media in Abilene is owned by the Lords of Abilene. So they can't run down Abilene. They can't put any news out about Abilene and what is going on here. Yes, we have people living in tents and streets and so forth, have had for years, because they can't pay bills. Their homes are repossessed. They couldn't even pay their water bill back then, and now it's higher today. This is the difference in God worship and Yahweh worship. You see it everywhere now. You should be able to start seeing this, even the preachers. You know, you should be able to see this now. Look at your own city. It's the same as here, which we have preached. Another Messiah which we have preached, or you accept a different spirit. Different spirit? Hold your place right there and look back to Yochanan. You preachers better sit down. I'm going to show you something. It'll knock you out of your seat. Yochanan, the sixth. Oh, that's John. If you have a King James Version, pay attention to what it says now. I know you read right over it just like you did Genesis 3:5. Don't follow the gods. Don't eat of their tree. That's their religions, as Yeshua showed in Matthew 7. And no, they don't have righteousness anymore. Yeshua showed that. He who accepts evil can't bring forth any righteousness. They can't bring forth righteousness. Matthew 7, they only bring forth evil. Evil like the gods. The gods can't bring forth righteousness. It's impossible. They lost it. You can't bring forth righteousness and evil at the same house. You've got to bring one or the other. And Yeshua said that. The Savior said that. No, his name wasn't Jesus. It's Yeshua. In Yochanan 6, in verse 63. Another spirit. Remember, we're talking about another spirit here. If anyone teaches a different spirit, you got that? John 6:63. It is the Spirit that gives life. This is not the Holy Ghost now. The Casper, I mean. It is the Spirit that gives life. Well, what is this Spirit? The answer is right there for you to read. The flesh is useless. The laws that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life everlasting. Until you get this spirit, until you're born again with this spirit fully ruling your body, you're on the road to hell. Now go back to 2 Corinthians again. 2 Corinthians. 11 verse 4. For if he who comes preaches another Messiah, that's what you're preaching out there, people, when you don't reuse the correct name. When you're using the name of two gods, Jesus and Christ, you can Google that and find out where it came from. They chose two gods to replace the Creator's name the Savior's name, which is Yeshua. Which we have not preached, or you accept a different spirit. A different spirit? What would it be? Evil, law-breaking. The spirit of keeping the law is what will bring you salvation. It will bring you to perfection and unity with Yeshua, who kept the law. and died for all of us who sinned, so our sins could be forgiven if we repent and convert, Acts 3:19. A different spirit, which you have not received, or another message, this message that you got going, Christmas, it's condemned in Jeremiah, the 10th chapter. That's Jeremiah in the King James Version. Read it for yourself. And it's even in the King James Version. One cuts the tree out of the forest and decks it. That'll be coming up next. Halloween. Easter is immediate now. 2 months. It's 2 months away. All of these are messages from God's. And you're accepting them. The only message that you should be taking is seek Yahweh. Seek first. Seek first the kingdom of Yahweh and His righteousness. Matthew 6:33. That's the message that the apostles taught too. And the last chapter in your Bible, Revelations 22, verse 14, blessed are those who keep His laws because they have right to the tree of life. You preachers don't have any right to the tree of life, and you're leading your flocks into death, just like Satan did in Genesis. Another message, which you have not accepted, you might well put up with him. You might well follow him. That's what you've done. In Genesis 3, let's go back there. Genesis 3. Now remember the Spirit. On 63, the Spirit. The laws that I speak gives life. They were refused. See Genesis 3, verses 1 through 7 and 22. The tree of life was refused. And that's what Yahshua said. Now, look at 3. Look at 7. Verse 5, where the gods, evil like the gods, don't miss the evil, it takes the place, it knocks out all righteousness, as Matthew 7 shows. Evil like the gods, it cuts off life. Look at verse 22. It cuts off life, it's still cutting off life. Verse 22. Then Yahweh said, behold, the man has become like one who has begun to know righteousness and evil. And Yahshua said, an evil tree cannot bring forth righteousness. But a righteous tree, that's the house of Yahweh that I will establish in these last days, Micaiah 4, verses 1 through 3. Then Yahweh said, Genesis 3:22, then Yahweh said, behold, the man has become like one who has begun to know righteousness and evil, and now he must not be allowed to put his hand forth and take of the tree of Abel. Right now, he can't do it. At that time, he cut himself off from the tree of life. He can't partake of it any longer. Now see that, because it was taken away from him. Yahweh allowed Cain to kill Abel. The world turned to sin. And he must not be allowed to partake of life at this time. Now, from there on to when Yahshua was born, there was no way of paying for this sin. The blood and blood of bulls and goats cannot pay for the sin. Can't pay the price of sin for man. Yahshua came and died for our sins. He qualified to give life. He qualified. to give life. If you turn over to chapter 5 of Yochanan, chapter 5, I think that's it. Chapter 5. Now, think of this now. Cain killed Abel. That stopped Abel's preaching. That was the tree of life. The tree of life was Abel. The house of Yahweh, the great stone of Abel, the great house of Yahweh at Abel. That's mentioned throughout the Holy Scripture. Yeshua himself testifies on Abel's behalf that he taught righteousness. He taught the righteousness of Yahweh. He must not be allowed to do that anymore. The tree of life had to be taken away. Yahweh allowed Cain to kill Abel, to remove righteousness, the tree of life, from mankind. So from there on to the time of Yeshua, we have the date starting with Matthew 1. Yeshua was born. He's the one that lived the life, the sinless life, to pay for our sins. You got all of that? Now, if you go to verse 21 here, we'll go to 19. Then Yeshua answered. You see, so it's Yeshua that's answering this. It's Yeshua that's giving this information. He's the one that lived the sinless life that you tried to replace. And of course, all the rumors against Yeshua being the Savior. You know, we have many, many people that rejected Yeshua. The difference that shows Yeshua from the regular so-called Jews, as they call it, do you know it? The difference? Yeshua taught Yahweh's righteousness. And the Jews, if you want to call them that, there's Catholics from Egypt, the 12 tribes, the seed of Abraham, who came up to and controlled the temple, the heads of Yaakov, who hated righteousness. Who hated righteousness. And Yeshua came teaching righteousness. It was not taught in the temple. The tree of life was not ever taught until Yeshua came himself. And all he could do at that time was die and pay for our sins. Now, while he was alive, he was teaching these prophecies in the temple and the laws of Yahweh. And that's the reason they killed him. Just like Cain killed Abel, Yeshua gave the parable and says, I sent them prophet after prophet. You persecuted the prophets. You murdered them? Well, I'll send my son. Surely you'll have respect for him. And they did. They killed him. They murdered him. I got a cross coming. I bought a cross this week. I saw it in a catalog. Oh, man. I can't hardly wait to show it to you, but I'll describe it to you. It's got a handles comes out here on each side, then one you grasp hold of up here, it's upside down, and then a big knife blade coming down here, big one, yes. Then inside that one is a smaller sword, smaller knife, this is a big sword, the one that Revelation says is given a big sword. That's what Christianity gives you, a big sword. Then inside that one then, or fastened to it, there's another knife with handles and two hands like this grasped together. That's supposed to be a holy look of the Pope, I think, you know, while he drinks out of the handle. I'm joking there. I think it might be true, though. And it's got these hands up there, and then it's got this body. This is another lie. The body stretched out like this. With the hand stretched out like this with stakes in them. That wasn't so. It's a big lie. He was actually nailed to a stake. If you'd try putting your hands together over your head that way, you've got to push your body up, which they gave a footstool for that on that stake, where the person, while he was hanging there slowly dying, he could push himself up and where he could breathe. When he got so weak that he couldn't push himself up, he would sink down, his shoulders would come in, cut his breath off, and he would die. That's the reason the Romans, listen to me, preachers, listen to me. That's the reason the Romans come around with this big pole and broke their leg so they couldn't push themselves up. He didn't die on a cross. That cross represents a sword, a big sword that's shown in Revelation, the 6th chapter. By this you will conquer. That's war. That's what Cain brought to you. All the world has gone the way of Cain. Well, Yahshua spoke and answered. Verse 21, for as the Father raises the dead, look at verse 22, for the Father does not judge any man, but has committed all judgment to the Son. Hold your place right there and look at chapter 7 of Matthew. Chapter 7 of Matthew. Here's the judgment for you people, your preachers and your flocks. Here's your judgment right here. Here's talking about the gods and the righteous trees. You're bringing forth an evil tree. A tree of evil cannot bring forth righteousness, as you see in chapter 7. Even likewise, this is verse 17. He says in verse 13, enter in through the narrow gate. He says only a few are going to enter. Verse 17, likewise, every righteous tree brings forth righteous fruit. Righteousness, of course, is the keeping of the law. 1 John, if you have a King James Version, 1 John, but a tree of evil. You see that tree of evil? It cannot bring forth righteousness. When you accept evil, you stop righteousness. You cut it off. As Cain cut Abel off. As Cain cut the tree of life off from the people. It was mankind that did this. Yahweh didn't do it. He predicted it. He foretold the future that Cain, accepting righteousness and hatred from his mother, would kill Abel. Brings forth righteous fruit. Righteous tree brings forth righteous fruit, keeping the laws of Yahweh. Life eternal. John 6:63. That's the spirit that brings forth life eternal. But a tree of evil brings forth fruit of iniquity. A righteous tree cannot bring forth fruit of iniquity. Nor can a tree of evil bring forth fruit of righteousness. Every tree which does not bring forth the keeping of Yahweh's laws of righteousness is cut down and cast into the fire. Not everyone, verse 21, not everyone that says to me, teacher, teacher, will enter the kingdom of Yahweh, but only those who do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that days, listen, preachers, this is talking about you. Many preachers will say to me in that day, have we not prophesied, that's preached in your name? No, you're using a false name. If you use any other name, you've hung yourself. And cast out demons in your name? Look at what they're bragging about today doing. Oh, they're full of wonderful works, they say. But verse 23, but I, the whole judgment is given unto him now. We just read it in chapter 5 of John. This is your judgment, all you preachers out there, and you that follow them. But then I will declare unto you, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who practice evil. or iniquity. Now look back to Yochanan 5, verse 22. For Yahweh does not judge any man. Well, you just read of Yahshua's judgment. That's your judgment. He's not going to change his mind. No evil is going to get into the kingdom of Yahweh. Committed all judgment unto the Son, so that all men may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who has sent him. Truly I say unto you, he who hears my words, the laws and the prophets, believing Yahweh who sent me, has everlasting life. You know, the preachers don't believe Yahweh. They don't believe Yahweh or Yahshua, either one. Or they would be seeking first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness. In verse 25, it says, dead will hear, the time is coming when the dead will hear his voice of the Son of Yahweh. Now, don't think that you can read verse 24 and simply believe. No, there's more to that. Here's his judgment. If you'll just read his judgment, look at verse 26. For just as the Father has life within himself, so he has given to the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority. Authority? Remember that a word, authority? Genesis 1:26. I'll make man in my image, as my likeness, and I will give to him authority. Yahshua received that authority. He's made in the image and likeness of Yahweh. Because he is the Son, verse 27, and has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. He's not a son of God. He's the Son of Man. And now he's the Son of Yahweh, who died for our sins. Do not be astonished at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and will come forth. Those who have practiced righteousness. I know you marked out the word righteousness and put good. You lied when you did it. You translators, you people who render this and try to falsify the meaning. The word is righteousness. That you marked out and put the word good in its place. But the word is righteousness. Those who practice righteousness, seek first Yahweh's kingdom and his righteousness, will be resurrected in order to live. Those who practice righteousness, Revelations 22:14, those who practice righteousness, the same thing here, those who practice righteousness. You forgot to change that one in Revelations, by the way, and a few others. And those who have practiced righteousness will be resurrected in order to those who practice righteousness will be resurrected in order to live, and those who have practiced wickedness or evil. That word, they put wickedness there, but the word is evil. If you want to mark that out, the word, the evil was taken out because it corresponds with Genesis 3:5, evil like the gods. But somehow or another, this got changed to wickedness. Those who practice evil like the gods will be resurrected in order to be damned. You see, it takes a little more than believe. You've got to believe Yahweh and prove to him that you believe him. Exodus 20:20, he will test you to see. He comes to test you. Well, Satan is actually the one that sets the rock in front of you. I can of my own self. That word there is falsified too. I will I will of my own self do nothing that is not right with Yahweh. That was Yahshua's words. I will of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of Him, of the Father who has sent me. I will do His will. That is Yahshua's word. The wars that are predicted, this is the big difference in Yahweh and Satan and all the gods. The gods can't predict the future. Yahweh has predicted the future. He says you're going to have bombs in this time period that will destroy, burn the whole earth. We got the bombs. The nations are lining up for the wars. Everything is being set up just like Yahweh described. Yahweh can foretell the future. The gods can't foretell it. If they could, they probably wouldn't. They'd probably lie about it. They lie about everything else. You know, everything they bring forth is just a pack of lies. Why any preacher follows these gods, I will never know. I just can't believe it. If they would just read the scriptures, even a King James Version, if you would just study the scriptures and do what it said, even in a King James Version, you can find the truth. I did. Yahweh showed me that before the book of Yahweh was ever published. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you.
I love you, Pastor.